Good morning. It is good to see each of you here this morning. We really do encourage you to be back tonight for our prayer service. It's always a very special time we spend in prayer. Sort of a good way to end one year and start the new year. And we encourage you to be a part of that tonight at our 6 o'clock service. So this morning, Jeff and I will be sharing a lesson together, sort of preparing us for the new year. And we're going to be specifically this morning trying to take part of our message of our memory verse into this new year. So Jeff, why don't you go ahead and get us started this morning.
There are some of us at the beginning of the year that had great visions about what this year will start and what this year will be for us. And as you pondered about that, you realized that most of your dreams came true, most of your visions for year 2019 came to reality. But there are also some of us who were not sure about what 2019 will be for you and for us. And for sure, it was a tough year. We struggled a lot. You faced lots of uncertainty. But in the end, you realize that God was with you every step of the way. And this verse reminds us, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3, reminds us that God is indeed faithful and that His faithfulness is with us every single day of the year. And as you think about this, your victories this year as well as your struggles, one thing comes up to the top, and that is God is faithful. And so we will study about this text this morning and hope to be blessed by that. Let's begin with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessings, for the things that we have endured this year, for the things that you have given us, for the things that we did not anticipate, but we had a great time with, for the blessings that you have poured into our lives. We thank you. And what a great text to end this year to remind us of your faithfulness. Be with us this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
So this morning's text really gives us three messages, if you will, three promises to begin our new year. And as we look forward to it, these three promises are very important. And the first one is that God is faithful. Faithfulness is one of God's traits. It's one of His attributes. And so in being faithful, God expects us to emulate and follow His example. When we think about faithfulness, we're reminded in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is really an important verse for us to understand as followers of Jesus, because it's about our faithfulness to acknowledge who we are in Him, professing Him as our Savior and following Him in our life, but also acknowledging our failures and following Him through the sin that we commit in our life. And it's really important that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all righteousness. I sort of grew up and with maybe a very immature perspective of what salvation was like, and that's changed in my lifetime. I think some of you, we've shared before that you related to it, that we feel like we could fall in and out of salvations a dozen times a day. Okay, so you said a nice prayer, you ask God's forgiveness and say you were really good. Okay, 10 minutes later, you do something wrong and you feel like you're out of salvation. In and out, in and out, in and out. And that's a pretty immature understanding of what salvation is. According to what the text here that John gives us, that if we're constantly living this lifestyle of confession, Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The blood of Jesus is always active and dynamic and working in the life of the believer. And our behavior does not negate that like we often believe it did. I guess this was an analogy that was shared with me and that sort of it's meaningful maybe today. As you got up this morning and you got ready, you looked outside, it was raining, and maybe as you drove to church, it was still raining. Anyone have to use the windshield wipers? Yeah, some of you had to use the windshield wipers. And so as you were driving here, the windshield wipers did not stop it from raining, did it? It just kept on coming down. But what the windshield wipers did, it kept removing the rain from the window so you could see clearly to where you were going. and you could stay safely in the road and not run off into the ditch someplace. Well, this analogy was used to explain to me this passage is that if as a Christian I'm being faithful to my profession of faith and I'm continuing to follow after Jesus and I'm confessing my sins, it's like that windshield wiper. It doesn't necessarily stop my sin, but it allows the blood of Jesus to continue to cleanse me of my sins and my unrighteousness. And so that I have a clear vision of God and God has a clear vision of me. Also, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, it talks about us holding fast to our confession, living in a constant communion with Jesus, and not turning loose of it, because we understand that God's faithfulness comes down to our decision of our own faithfulness toward Him. For God is not wavering. In fact, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He has promised is faithful. And so, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, if we are faithless, He remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. It's really important for us as believers to put our faith and trust in Jesus and to understand that it's His atoning work that saves us and we don't save ourselves. But at the same token, we can't take advantage of this. And so we have some responsibility in following God's faithfulness with our own faithfulness to Him. But Paul tells us, even when we're weak, even when we stumble, even when we're not remaining as we ought to, God is still faithful to us because He cannot deny Himself. At that moment of baptism that God put His Spirit within you, and that Spirit was put within you for a purpose, to bring God glory in your life, through your set of circumstances, through your situations, that you always bring God glory. And in so doing, we demonstrate our faithfulness to Him, and we can always be faithful. We can always trust His faithfulness to us.
Promise number two from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3 is this: He will establish you. As the text said, but the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. So this is the promise number two. God will establish you. And it's from the Greek word stirizo, which means God will sit you firmly or fix you or strengthen you. And that's a word that we use to, in the Greek word, that's the word that they use to fix things and to put something in place to make things stable. And that's something that reminds us that there's nobody in this world that can make our lives stable other than God. There are many things and agencies that we can use to make our lives stable. We can use the luxury, the comfort that we have to make our lives stable, but in the end, they can be shaken. But God, being at the center of our lives, He cannot be shaken. But in order for God to establish our hearts, He must have access to our hearts. In order for Him to be the core driver of our lives, He must have access to our hearts. And this is because our hearts is like the seat of our thinking, of our emotion, of our decisions. And if there's anybody outside or other than God that's going to drive our lives, that's not going to be a stable position for us. The imagery that we get from Psalm chapter 1, verse 3 is a very good imagery for this. It said, "You shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaves shall also not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." And in this imagery, we see three things. One is that whenever a person or a tree is planted by the waters, one, he will have productivity because he is fed by the water constantly. He's not in the place of drought. There's water constantly feeding that tree, that person. Secondly, we see an imagery here of, according to this text, it brings forth fruit. And then the other one is, whose leaf shall not be withered. An imagery of longevity, that when you're a person whose life is planted in God, is rooted, established in God, you will not see drought in your life. There's longevity. The other one is prosperity. So productivity, longevity, and prosperity. When you're a person who's really established by God, whose main driver of your life is God, then there will be fruits and prosperity in your life. And you will experience this on many levels and also on many occasions, because God is a God that loves to, like we have made a couple of times, God is a God that loves to bless his children. And so when we think about this verse in Psalm chapter 1, verse 3, it reminds us that when a plant, when a tree, when a person is established by God, he will experience productivity, longevity, and prosperity. Also, another text is from Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 9. It said, "The Lord will establish you as his holy people to himself, just as he was sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and you walk in his ways." And actually, if you read the remainder of these verses in chapter 28 of Deuteronomy, you will see just how God was so promising to his people. He said that if you keep my commandments, this is what will happen to you. You will prosper, you will abound in many things. But if you do not keep my commandments, he said, curse will be upon you. So this is what God wants for his people. He wants his people to be rooted in him because he wants his people to prosper. He wants his people to experience stable relationship, stability in this life. The other text is from 2 Thessalonians. It's actually from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12 to 13. And this is a prayer from Paul. It says, "May the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." And again, this is part of his prayer to his readers in Thessalonica. And he prays this. He prays that each one of us, Christians, hopefully will be established in God, because he knows that when a person is established in God, there will be no drought that will dry him. There will be no storm that can blow him away. There will be no struggles that can make him quit from God. There will be nothing in this life that can cut him away from God. And so Paul prays, "I pray that you will be established in God," because you are that person, a person that is established in God.
The third promise this morning, it's an interesting one. It's also a comforting one, that he will guard us from the evil one. And I know that when we committed to this text, we sort of committed to preach these texts this calendar year. It's been interesting how it's sort of driven my study to prepare for it. And I guess I'd read this verse before and always made one association to what it meant there about the evil one. But after spending some more time with the text, I really think that we need to sort of maybe open our perspective a little bit upon this. So he will guard us from the evil one. And the reality is, in Scripture, the evil one is not capitalized. It's not necessarily being used as something who means the same as the devil or Satan. If you look in Scripture, Satan's always capitalized. Devil sometimes is, sometimes not. But in this occasion, it's calling the evil one just something other than God. And so the challenge we have is that he will guard us from evil. So anything that would take us away from God or get in the way of God, that if we will establish our hearts in God, it will remain faithful to him, he will keep us from the evil one. And so in Matthew chapter 6, verse 13, Jesus also said this in the model prayer, "And do not lead us in temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." I think the challenge for us is to understand that evil is a matter of degrees. It's moving in a direction away from God that puts us in the realm of the evil one. If you sort of look back over the chronicle of Scripture and you saw what was happening with the children of Israel, you know, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 9, he says, "We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked." Some translation says evil one. So we know that whatever is not of God is of the evil one. And because there's this reality in this world that the dominion of darkness is just as true as the dominion of light. And we see it individually sometimes with people. We see it collectively sometimes in culture. But if we're not real careful, when we move away from God, we move into the dominion of the evil one. And so Satan is not the only thing that can get between us and God. For the children of Israel, it was the idols that they worshipped, the false gods, Baal, the Ashtoreth, Molech, and the other gods that captured the heart of the people of Israel. And we see this time and time and time again. That they would profess that they would follow after God, but then they would make some kind of concession in their life for the evil ones, for the ones that were not the true God. For the children of Israel, they got to move into a land of milk and honey, but the land of milk and honey had been previously occupied by idolaters, people who worshiped false gods. And when they left, when they were driven from the land, they left their idols there. Maybe it was a place in the middle of a grove, or maybe it was a place in the middle of a field or whatever, or the corner of a field, in which they had made their sacrifices. They had worshiped their false gods. And the children of Israel did not tear those down. They left them standing. And before they know it, they became the idols in their heart. They also were paying homage to these things. And we see this pattern time and time and time after again of people who begin making concessions toward things other than God. And when they did, those things took over and evil entered into the lives, into the hearts. So Paul connects his faithfulness of God to our faithfulness toward God. And doing that, God can establish our hearts like the tree planted by the rivers of waters. And in doing that, God can help protect us from the evil one. I really don't think there's many people in this world that wake up in the morning and says, how can I mess my day up? I just don't think people do that. But I do think there's many people in the world who wake up without giving God one thought at all of that during that day. And they make their whole decision, they make their whole decisions in life without going through the filter and frame of God and Jesus Christ. And so they find themselves in a place that's far, far removed from God. And they're under the realm of the evil one. We see it time and time again in Scripture. We see that Lot, when he separated from Abraham, did not immediately move to Sodom. But Genesis says he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Before we know it, he winds up living in the city of Sodom. We see with the prodigal son, maybe he didn't intend to wind up in a pig's trough, desiring to eat their slop. But that's where he found himself, because he stopped thinking about what his father really wanted from him. And we're the same way. We're on the cusp of a new year. We're not going to intentionally make for a bad year. But if we're really not careful, if we do not go through the lens of letting God to establish us, if we do not remain faithful to Him, then we're going to fall on the sway of the evil one. But, as a promise of Scripture, if we are faithful as He is faithful, if we allow Him to establish Himself in our heart, then we can be protected from the evil one in our lives and the decisions that we make.
Second Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3 says, "But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one." And it's really a powerful text to end our year. And like what we said at the beginning of this sermon, we said that there are some of us who were uncertain about what this year will be for you and your family. There were voices in your head that said, you can't do it. There was nothing for you. There is nothing for you in 2019. There's no hope for you. This will be a bad year for you. But looking back, you made it. Not because you were the greatest person, but because God was with you every step of the way. He established you because you rooted yourself in God. And God saw that it's necessary for Him to fulfill His promise to be faithful to you. There are also some of us who had great visions at the beginning of the year. And for you, some or most of those visions, most of these dreams came true. And praise God for that, because He delivered what He has promised to you and your family. But whether you're from the first person that I described or the second person that I described, what this summarizes for us, especially this text, is that God is faithful. He was faithful, is faithful, and will be faithful for His children. And it's necessary for us to root ourselves, our faith, our hearts, in that fact that God is a faithful God. And if you will, imagine our year, this coming 2020, it would probably be like driving. That if you allow yourselves to be the passenger and allow God to be the driver, it will be a great year. It will be a good year for you, for us, for your whole family, for this community. Because whenever God is a driver, He knows exactly not only how to get there, but how to make it an adventurous journey for you. Of course, we will hit some potholes. We will probably hit the back road and not just the highways, hills and valleys, probably dirt roads as well. But at the end of the day, whenever you get back in the passenger seat, put your helmets on and buckle up and let God be the driver of our lives, of our congregation, of our community, it will be a good ride. It was a good ride for us in 2019. It is a good ride for me and my family. It was a good ride for me and Mark, ministering to you guys. And I'm sure with this verse that reminds us again and again in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3, that it will also be a great year for us in 2020, in the year 2020. So, we invite you that if you are somebody who has not yet allowed Jesus to be the driver of your life, to let Him be the driver of your life. We invite you that if He's not yet the leader of your pack, to let Him be the leader of your pack. We invite you that if He's not yet the person in charge of your family, to let Him be the person that's in charge of your family. If you're somebody that's questioning what 2020 will be for you, the water here, the baptistry, is ready, because this will be a certain seal that 2020 will be a great year for you. So let's all stand up and sing an invitation song. And again, if you're somebody that's not yet allowed to be Jesus the driver of your life, we invite you to come forward and allow Him to be the driver of your life, because it will be a great year for you.